John's Gospel concludes with a very interesting summary verse that seems to allow for all kinds of wonder and imagination concerning the life of Jesus. This is what John wrote. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Having told the story of Jesus, he concludes by saying there are lots more. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world could not contain the books that would need to be written. And while John and the other gospel writers give us together all we need to know to discover who Jesus is and what he came to do, so many details of people and places and encounters are not recorded. But that doesn't mean they didn't happen. And it doesn't mean that we can't wonder and consider what might have taken place in the details of Jesus' life. We don't do any violence to the text of the Bible as long as we don't become dogmatic about things about which the Bible remains silent, and we don't promote them as fact. It's perfectly valid to imagine and speculate about what we don't know for sure, based upon what we do have preserved before us in the pages of the Bible. And in that account that Luke gives us in those first seven verses of chapter 2, we have just enough to stir our imaginations about the circumstances of that first Christmas. You see, the video that we've just watched might have been a kind of an encapsulation of how the innkeeper, if he were there at all, might have felt. But it's entirely consistent with everything that the Bible says about God giving people opportunities to enter, to step in to the story of what he has achieved and is achieving still today through Jesus. And so it may be speculation, but at its heart it has a clear message of how God draws us in, draws all of those people who are standing by, not at the heart of some great event that is happening, but people who are standing by and observing and are somehow part of the story in a tangential kind of way, but how those people get drawn in too. Luke, in terms of facts, Luke puts Jesus' birth within a set time and a set place in history. He tells us it was when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. That's a detail we don't really need to know. But Luke researched this. He was a historian. He made sure of his facts as he prepared his story about the life of Christ. The locations he mentions can be found on a map. Syria, Galilee, Nazareth, Judea, Bethlehem, all of those are specified places with map coordinates that can be verified and visited to this day. We know that a census was underway because of a decree that came from the highest office of the government. It came from the Emperor of Rome, Caesar Augustus. And Luke specifies the names of people other than Caesar in Jesus' birth story. He speaks about Elizabeth and Zechariah, who gave birth to John the Baptist, Quirinius, David, Joseph, Mary, all of those people are mentioned. And this is one of those places in those seven verses of Luke chapter 2 where we get to stop and wonder. We know that that's not the full story of the birth of Jesus, but we get to consider and meditate. It's healthy to stay curious when we read the Bible. How did Mary and Joseph actually know that there was no room for them in the inn? Because the text just says there was no room. Clearly, somebody told them there was somebody there. How did they make their way to the stable? Somebody, presumably, indicated the way and offered them that accommodation. Is it too much to think that someone answered the door when they were looking for a room? It makes all the sense in the world to acknowledge that just because the Bible doesn't specifically mention an innkeeper, that there probably would have been someone there to open the door and interact with them. And by the way, Judith, your name is Estelle this afternoon. Did you realise that? Yeah. Somebody offered that alternative accommodation in Bethlehem when Joseph and Mary came knocking in desperation. There was a place for them. Whatever it was like, there was a place, and the rest of it is history. But even within history, real emotions and thoughts and considerations and the unnamed characters that were present on that night still occurred. They were there. Again, we don't have specifics, but we can wonder. And we can contemplate without really knowing for sure how the birth in the barn may have caused the innkeeper and who knows how many others who were standing on the edge of proceedings to have a dilemma of belief. To actually have a challenge set before them. This is what is happening in front of your eyes. Is it too much for you to believe in this? And they have this issue, this quandary as to whether to actually step into the area of belief and to pursue that belief and find its consequences, or to say, I don't believe it. There were fervent hopes and expectations around, as we know, for somebody appointed by God to achieve this. All of the Old Testament prophecies pointed towards this day when God would intervene in human history. And they were expecting Israel to be restored to their glory days. Perhaps the innkeeper, for his part, did watch and see the entourage of shepherds making their way to the stable. Maybe he was even around when the wise men arrived. Maybe he noticed the star shining over the stable. The Bible doesn't say any of that, but we can wonder, as long as neither the principles nor the stated truths of the Bible are not contradicted. It's safe to say that whatever the innkeeper may have thought or done or felt that night, he had no idea of the fullness of God's plan. The innkeeper may not have had a clue about the timing of Christ's birth, that it was just at the right time, as Paul tells us in one of his letters, just at the right time God gave us Jesus. But God knew the time. And the fact that the inn was full and the stable was about to be the maternity ward was all in that plan. Yet it's never by chance that someone is drawn into the working of God's will. There are no bit part characters in God's story, of the story of him speaking to mankind. He speaks to us all because we're all important to him. For the innkeeper, his inclusion in the story of the birth of the Saviour was a God-given opportunity for him to discover for himself and consider the significance of it, both for his people and for himself. The first cry of the Christ child that night in the hustle and bustle of the city of David, this place of great significance, was the first claim soon to be heard all around the world that God had come to claim and save his world. The innkeeper probably didn't have the full scope of that reality sinking in to his mind when it came to light that a baby had been born in his stable. But life came into the world and light began pushing back the darkness that night. The plan from eternity was now in place and unfolding. We'll never know how many people have stood on the sidelines over the centuries as God did something amazing to reveal his love and power in many divine events and happenings around the world. We won't know how many of these, incidental to the main story but known individually by God and planned by him to be there at the time, were so moved by what they witnessed and felt that they turned over the control of their lives to him. At least the innkeeper played a part in the plan. He had a space on his property, squalid though it was. We did just what we sing about today, prepare him room. We sing the Advent carol, don't we? Let every heart prepare him room. Perhaps it was the beginning of a crisis of belief for him. Perhaps Christmas, Advent could be that for one or more of us. Let every heart prepare him room. There is always more going on than we realise.